Welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rexrode. I'm Joe Rexrode here with Adam Vingan in this week for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic. How's everybody doing? I'll just throw that up to whoever would like to answer it first. I'm going to switch it up from Robbie. Robbie always asks me first, but I'm going to throw it up to the whole room.
I'm doing great this morning, other than spilling coffee all over myself and my fire alarm in my apartment going off last night.
Okay, I saw the coffee spill. It's substantial.
It's the second consecutive day that Michelle has spilled coffee on white pants.
Correct. I'm a mess.
That's tough. What the fire alarm, just some random?
Yeah.
What time
was that? 8 to 9 last night, just an hour.
An hour?
Outside waiting for the fire truck, and yeah, it was very annoying. And I have bug bites all over myself, so.
Well, that stinks. At least it was, at least it was 8 to 9, right? It wasn't like 11 to 12.
I've had a 3 a.m. or 1.
Oh, boy.
That's the worst.
I don't miss that about apartment living at all.
Yeah. House guy.
Yes. House guy now for almost 2 years.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. A little sad about some pop culture news yesterday. Olivia Newton-John died.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I got to tell you, man, I'm a huge Olivia Newton-John fan, and that's very sad. And my childhood, listening to my mom had her albums and would rock those albums. And I would advise everyone out there to, if you don't know, you know, I think people know, like, Let's Get Physical.
Yes.
And, you know, Grease, stuff like that. But her stuff in the early 70s, before Grease, some great, great stuff. Kind of, it was kind of country, you know?
Yes. I learned yesterday that she had 7 top 10 hits on Billboard's country chart in the 70s.
Yeah. Please, Mr. Please, about a young woman in Nashville, by the way, is might be my all time favorite Olivia Newton John banger. So check that one out.
I know a lot of people
very sad.
Associate her with Sandy in Grease.
Well, right. Of course.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. And then there's Xanadu and. You know, the Let's Get Physical video was like that was, like MTV was probably a year old, and the Let's Get Physical video was a heavy rotation. So, you know, everyone remembers that, but yeah, great career, very sad. She battled cancer for a long time, so. Yeah.
Biggest song,
Rest in peace.
Physical was the biggest song of the 1980s, according to Billboard.
Really?
Yes.
That surprises me.
Yes.
I mean, it was huge, but that still surprised me. And that is, wow, that's substantial.
That according to the New York Times.
Yeah.
This is me being ignorant, perhaps. I didn't realize that she had been battling breast cancer for such a long time.
Yeah.
Like more than 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was sad when I saw that. When I saw that across the timeline yesterday, it took me aback slightly. I was like, damn.
I feel like we've had a lot of losses lately. I mean, I suppose that's life, right? But I just feel like, I mean, like half of my favorite, you know, actors from like gangster movies and shows.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a bad run.
Yeah, we're going to honor some Olivia Newton-John today.
Actually,
right,
yeah, if you could rock some
guys,
Olivia, that would be great.
I was already thinking
there
that.
There we go. I think that's more than appropriate. All right, good deal.
I hope Jared's not listening because he hates when radio hosts talk about bumper music.
Oh, man. Oh, can't. Got to get to the takes. Let's get to the takes for Jared.
Well, I can see that you didn't heed my advice and use your notes app because you've got your yellow legal pad again. Hopefully you're... Handwriting about yesterday's Titans practice is more legible than it was over the weekend.
Well, you know, I on the sideline yesterday, actually, Braden Gall actually wanted to see. He said, "Let me just see a sheet of this," and he just wanted to see if he could possibly read the words. He actually did pretty well. You know, by the way, yesterday TD texted me during the show about the Chickaconquo, and I said there was a pass breakup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I missed it until later, but it was Chance Campbell, the rookie linebacker, and like I couldn't read that. I wrote that down, but I could not read my writing of Chance Campbell. So we got some work to do on that. But,
my handwriting has deteriorated over time. Like when I have to fill out a form with a pen, like at a doctor's office or something, and I'm writing, I'm like, man, I've really let my handwriting go just because you're not used to handwriting that much anymore.
Well, so you're talking about cursive.
Or no, just print,
in
general.
Yeah. Well, my print, it's been like this big all caps crap for a long time, but, you know, writing cursive, something that was very important to learn in third grade.
Yes.
And now it's just like that's just completely obsolete. So Titans yesterday, I actually have my notes are not like extensive from yesterday.
As he flips to the second page.
But the other day, I mean, I had two practices, and I think I had like four pages per practice. So this is a little more. I stuck to the big stuff. First of all, I mean, I think one big thing, it's a constant story. We had the depth chart yesterday. Dylan Raidens and Nicholas Petit-Frere, I look at that as an absolute, it's a competition. They're both getting opportunities, and it's going to be really interesting. And that's probably as interesting as anything Thursday at Baltimore. So I think both of them, you know, with some good stuff, some not so good stuff. And we'll see. You know, Kaharski asked Mike Vrabel yesterday about a good question. So why? Because, you know, Vrabel says, hey, you know, we want to give people opportunities and all that stuff. So Kaharski's question was, well, why aren't you doing that at left guard? Because, of course, on the depth chart, it shows Brewer or Jamarco Jones. It shows Raidens or Petit-Frere. And I don't remember. I'm going to find the exact answer. There's not a lot to the answer. But basically, I think his answer was like, it was my decision or something like that.
Well,
but,
yes.
But
yes,
it was. It, again, it's like you don't have to, without saying it, it makes it very, it's very clear, right? There is a competition at one spot. There right now really is not a competition at the other spot. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So that's one big thing from yesterday. And it's basically, I think, three straight practices now, that you've seen some serious interchange there between those two. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. First of all right, did we not ask Michelle Nick Westbrook-Ikhina to pronounce his name when we had him on the show? And what did he say?
Yes, we did. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina.
Okay. Well, I think it was A to Z Sports had a video interview with him yesterday, and he said it's Ikhina. And I was like, I swear we asked him. Like,
listen, I'll get the receipts.
What? Like, I swear we asked him.
Is this a Robbie Anderson situation?
Well, the IE versus the Y.
Yes.
Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, it's closer to Darius Leonard is now Shaquille Leonard.
Is that going to stick?
I think so. I mean,
he changed his social media handles to that.
Yeah. I mean, look, like I think Darius is a cool name, but yeah. Shaquille's a really cool name.
Of course it is.
So. Yeah, I think that's going to stick. I mean, I'm seeing like Colts reporters, you know, tweet out Shaquille Leonard. By the way, he's sitting out and his back's a problem, which is not great for the Colts. Anyway, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, which is what we've been going with, had a couple drops early. Mm-hmm. Now, one of them Fulton had kind of got his hand in there, so you could attribute it to Christian Fulton a little bit, but very jarring to see him drop passes ever anymore. Never does it. He catches everything. His first camp a couple years ago, when everyone, including myself, assumed that he just wouldn't be around anymore, couldn't, you know, he struggled to catch the ball. He looked pretty good running around out there. You could see some ability, but he couldn't catch the ball. Of course, he's overcome that and then some, but yesterday he had a couple. So Burks had a drop, but the big issue with that, and I think Treylon Burks, you know, I mean, I'd say maybe, you know, he's slowed down a little bit. Let's say that. Like, he has not popped, you know, in these practices lately as much. Maybe a little bit of a wall for a rookie. He had a drop, but a big thing on that was that he didn't run his route. It would have been a catch, I think, and an easy catch had he run the route correctly. It was a crossing route, and receivers coach Rob Moore vocally let him know about that. You know, that was a route thing. So, you know, just one of those things for a rookie. There was a lineup issue too yesterday. There was also, by the way, just a total, this is the Treylon Burks thing. He cannot have a misstep without major reaction. So, you know, I almost hesitate to talk about anything bad, but, you know, so here's an example. Okay. Mike Herndon, friend of the show, tweet something about Burks lining up wrong once or whatever. And so now, I don't even, do you know who Nick Mencio is? I don't know. He's a football writer for somebody. I mean, he's got a pretty big follower count. Anyway, this is his tweet, quote tweet to that. Okay. Mike Herndon talking about Burks making a couple mistakes. quote, Treylon Burks lining up Ron running the wrong routes this summer after not being able to pass a conditioning test in the spring. Seems to be well behind Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and even fellow rookie Kyle Phillips on the Titans wide receiver depth chart, end quote. So let's just take something, which is, you know, something that happened in practice. He also made plays in practice and make sweeping judgments about it. It's not true. He's actually had a very good camp. It's just slowed down a little bit. And I would not say he's behind Kyle Phillips on the Titans depth chart. Kyle Phillips is surging right now. But I would not say that. I would say that right now Burks would still be in the top three at receiver. Another thing yesterday, Shakir Brown. Roger McCreary was out. Don't know if he was hurt. He was on the bike. Sometimes that's a day off. Sometimes that's an injury. I'd be surprised if a rookie fighting for a spot it would be out. Would just get a day off from Vrabel. So he's probably a little bit nicked up. Shakir Brown in there again and making some plays, giving up some plays. But number 38 is absolutely making himself known. So, you know, the thing is, this is half a page of notes. This is a problem, you know. I get on one little note, and then I just blab forever and ever.
Well, good thing you're in sports talk radio, because that's what blabbing.
I guess so.
It's all about blabbing.
Blabbing is a good skill. So when we come back, I've got more. I've got some big runs. I've got some Malik Willis. And I've got a veteran pass rusher who looked good too. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road. And don't forget to join in on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063, The Game. Joe Rex Road, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic spinning some Olivia Newton-John. I mean, that's a good start. There's some deep cuts. I'm going to text you some ideas.
Thanks, Rex Road.
Did you have any leg warmers?
I did not have leg warmers. A lot of the girls in my school had leg warmers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was right around the time I got my first pair of Nikes, right around the time that song was really popular, like third grade, and I got the blue Nikes, like they're like, you know, they were short, and they were like the like light blue stripe,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that was a pretty sweet deal. I think a lot of people still called them Nikes, you know, back then, yeah, it's just this fledgling company out of Oregon. Reminder, folks, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are talking Titans, and on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Megan says, on Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, which I'm going to start adjusting. We got to get it right. She said, yeah, Mike Keith came out a few days ago, said it had been wrong this whole time. In the live look-in, he said he checked with him and it ends in nay. It's going to be pretty hard to change. Well, and it's already been butchered. I mean, like, not everybody says Westbrook-Ikhina, but apparently that was wrong anyway. So Westbrook-Ikhina. If you can find the receipt, Michelle, I swear we asked him. And, like, maybe he's just messing with all of us. This is possible. Back to the notes from yesterday, Adam.
Okay.
Julius Chestnut.
I like that name.
It's a very good name. He is a guy we have not talked a ton about with the Titans. This is one of those keep this in mind for the preseason game, because I already called a shot that like Jordan Wilkins is going to have a huge night. A lot, you know, the running backs down the roster a little bit in these preseason games, right? You can sometimes see and sometimes of course there can be overreaction like, "Ooh, that guy," but you know, that's basically you're getting reps and, you know, deep in a preseason game. But you go through the running back depth chart, you, of course, have Trenton Cannon, who's trying to make it, and really as a returner, that's his key. Hassan Haskins, Derrick Henry, of course. Dontrell Hilliard, I really like how he looks. But Wilkins has looked good. But Julius Chestnut, a rookie, Sacred Heart University, 5'11", 228. Haven't seen a ton from him. Got a chance with the top unit, and was gone. The defense blitzed. Titans caught him in a blitz. The offense caught him in a blitz. Julius Chestnut took it to the house. So good for him. 7-on-7. Malik Willis, I thought, had – he might have had his most or highest number of good throws yesterday than he's had in a particular day of camp. He had a really good pass to Briley Moore in the seam. It was a zone look. Obviously, they throw different coverages at him in 7 and team. The zone look, it just looked like a really good recognition of what the coverage was, finding the spot, you know, hitting it at the right time. Briley Moore making plays at tight end. I picked him on my 53 going in. Then I wavered and said, you know what, I think it's going to be Tommy Hudson. And, hey, it may only be 3 tight ends. Don't rule out Briley Moore. He is showing up more and more, kind of like Kyle Phillips at receiver. Briley Moore is making plays in different situations for different quarterbacks. So keep that in mind. Others with team yesterday, Phillips, slant, big-time route, big-time quick feet, beat Shakur Brown, who, as we said, he's been making noise. Recently signed Shakur Brown, but Phillips got him pretty good there. Another one by Phillips. A terrific Kinsey catch against Shakur Brown, so he kind of took some L's yesterday as well. And then I had on a one particular play, Bud Dupree flash. Again, yesterday was not pads. Yesterday was shorts and helmets. They still actually ran quite a few running plays in team. It was physical for a non-fully padded practice. But Bud Dupree on one play here and there, you know, he's out there quite a bit, and he looks pretty imposing coming off the edge. So those are my notes. That's not crazy. That's not a crazy collection of notes.
So what was your main takeaway when you got back in the car and were leaving St. Thomas Sports Park yesterday and you were thinking about what stood out to you among all of those notes? What was the first thing that came to mind?
Well, I think it's maybe a little bit of the seesaw. You know, again, that tweet from, was it Nick Mencio? Is that what I said? Was inaccurate on Treylon Burks is behind Kyle Phillips on the depth chart. I don't think that. Kyle Phillips is going to have a confined role. I mean, he's going to be the slot guy, and I think it's going to be, you know, largely in obvious passing downs. I don't like Kyle Phillips is not going to be out there a ton in there, like, if, well, really, maybe not at all when they go two tight end, right? Or they go two back. It's going to be one of those bigger outside receivers. It's going to be those bigger outside receivers at wideout. But in certain situations, I think he's going to be out there. I think he's going to absolutely make the team. And he is every day now making noise. It's kind of like he now is kind of like Treylon Burks earlier in camp. So my big takeaway, I guess, would be a little bit of a seesaw effect there with Phillips seeming to gain momentum right now. And look, some of this is just quarterback choices. You got to keep that in mind, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, 7-on-7, red zone, team, whatever it is, it's still quarterbacks making choices. Treylon Burks may have gotten open a few times yesterday that the ball just didn't come his way. But Kyle Phillips is making a lot more plays. And Treylon Burks is, I'd say, you know, has made less plays in the last, you know, couple day, 2-3 practices, something like that. Again, you know, kind of didn't run a route exactly right, lined up wrong, making some mistakes, rookie stuff, nothing concerning. Like, don't tie it back to the spring. Again, he's taking part in everything. He's going to be a key player. But I think we're seeing a little bit of a lull for him. So that would be, I guess, my primary thing. Shakur Brown is also a really interesting story as they look for corner depth, But, you know, McCreary will be back. Molden will be back. I think he's missed 7 straight practices. It's been more than a week. It's been a week and a half without him. But that's my big takeaway. I would also say, again, Malik Willis, you're seeing some gains. You're seeing some gains. You're still seeing imperfection. You know, you're seeing the need for development and all that stuff. But he's got a little bit of momentum maybe going into a big moment for him Thursday.
It appears that Nick Menzio writes for Roto World. When I typed his name into Google, there were a lot of fantasy previews.
So fantasy-related content.
Yeah. So Mike Herndon, by the way, who you referenced before, Nick Menzio took his tweet and sent the tweet that you were referring to. Mike Herndon replied and said, as the writer of this tweet this is based on, I feel the need to clarify. Burks also worked with Tannehill. He lined up wrong once, did not run the wrong route, just didn't run through the route like the wide receiver coach wanted. He's largely been good, sometimes very good, in camp.
That's exactly right. He didn't run the route. He wasn't where he needed to be. He wasn't at the spot because, apparently he just didn't run it hard enough, or he didn't, so it wasn't the wrong route. So, yeah, good for Mike Herndon to clarify. Again, I just feel like people want over. Now, that's a fantasy overreaction, right? That's the fantasy world overreaction. I would say on the fantasy side, if I'm drafting and if someone's saying, you can take Kyle Phillips or Treylon Burks, it's ding, 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 Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks is going to get red zone opportunities. Mm-hmm. Treylon Burks is a better
late round flyer on Treylon Burks might be good. You need some depth on your bench in fantasy. I'd take him.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, that's exactly. I mean, with this team, from the fantasy perspective, boy, at receiver, I just don't know. I think Westbrook-Ikhine is going to be a good – see, I'm saying it right already. I think, if that is right. I think he's going to be a good player this year, but same sort of thing. I mean, Robert Woods should be the first receiver off the board. I just don't know how high, though. I mean, I don't know if the numbers are going to be especially glowing for anyone. Scott.
Other than Derrick Henry.
Right, yeah. Yes. I'm just talking about receiver. Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, at tight end, even, I think Austin Hooper.
If you like to stream tight ends in fantasy, I think Austin Hooper is a guy that you could rely on.
If you like to what?
Stream
the
tight ends.
What does that mean?
Like, if you don't draft someone like Travis Kelce or Darren Waller.
Oh, so you're looking at matchups.
Yeah, and if you don't have a dedicated tight end and you're just looking at matchups and you just like to pick guys off the waiver wire every week, Austin Hooper is a guy I feel like that would be very popular at that. Like, oh, he's available and they're playing the Texans. I'll take him.
Streaming tight ends.
Yes.
I did not.
Well, you're streaming in general, but you can stream tight ends and other positions.
I often stream defenses.
Streaming defenses is very popular.
It's like every once in a while it's like, ooh, I got a chance to take one. I know. But it's just, to me, it's like you're better off a lot of times just finding the horrific. There's two or three horrific offenses.
Right.
And a lot of times you can find somebody taking on.
Like
one
last
of them.
Year, it's like, oh, this defense is playing the Jaguars this week. I'll take them. That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. Scott or Tony, who, by the way.
Tony or Scott?
Well, he said his first name's Scott. He goes by middle name Anthony. He calls himself Tony. So we got Tony and Smyrna.
Okay, Tony.
Tony and Smyrna asking, has Elijah Molden returned to practice? Any word? There's no word. He's not in practice. He is on the bike. The fact that he's on the bike tells you it's not like it's some devastating injury. So, it's one of those things where whatever it is, he suffered it on the indoor. It was last Friday, or it was a week ago Friday. It was the indoor practice when it was raining outside. He left early. And again, hasn't been out there, but they're not going to mess with something. They're not going to mess with anything with someone who's going to be, I still believe, a starter and a key player this year. So I would guess it wouldn't be too long, but it has been pretty extended. And Chip from Mount Juliet says, Levy Newton John was my first crush. I guess you call it growing up. These stars passing do have an impact. Yes. I think a lot of people, I've seen a lot of first crush stuff with Olivia Newton-John.
I mean, that's the iconic scene in Greece where she's got the leather outfit on and her hair's all teased and she's, tell me about it, stud,
What's wild about that is, so she's playing 16, 17-year-old?
Yes.
I think she was 29 or 30 then. Isn't that wild?
That's always the weird thing about movies that take place in high school. We both love Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I would hope everybody would.
I mean, how old was, Phoebe Cates in that movie when she was playing a high schooler?
Now, you want to talk about a childhood crush. Phoebe Cates. By the way, Mike from Clarksville says, stick with NWI. That's probably good advice, Mike. All right, we're going to switch to some hockey next. Talk a little Ellie Tolvanen. Expanding on something Adam said yesterday, Ellie Tolvanen's future with the Preds. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Michelle looking at me like, don't botch this, Rex Road. Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley this week, and we're going to get to some hockey here, Adam. The Preds, you mentioned Ellie Tolvanen yesterday. And you basically said, not out on him, not done, but basically he's got to be a fourth liner this year. Probably. I mean, so I'm interested in what that looks like from his perspective. From your perspective, is Ellie Tolvanen, because to me, I still want him on a power play unit for sure. I mean, I want to utilize that shot, right?
Yes.
Nino Niederreiter's arrival should allow you to have a little bit more balance, maybe be a little bit better with power play too, which I think would be beneficial for the Preds. There was a big difference. I mean, at least there was a big – it's good for the Preds. There was a big difference. It means they had a good power play unit last year. But how does Ellie Tolvanen – you know, how does he – if that's the case, if it's like Tolvanen, Glass, Sanford, which it kind of makes sense, how do you think that line projects and you know, where do you think things are going for him? I think he's a fascinating case this year.
Yeah, and – When you look at his numbers last season, you know, his shooting percentage was really low. Now, two seasons ago in the shortened season, his shooting percentage was pretty high. So, you know, the truth is so to speak, is somewhere in the middle. And, you know, I was thinking about players that, you know, that other more established NHL players that, you know, that remind me of Ellie Tolvanen. And it's not a perfect comparison, but the first player that came to mind was Mike Hoffman. Are you familiar with Mike Hoffman?
Yep.
Yeah, Mike Hoffman, he's been in the league now, you know, he's been in the league, you know, for probably close to 10 years, you know, played a lot of time in Ottawa, had a couple years in Florida. He's bounced around. I think he played for Montreal last season.
Wasn't there interest here? Or maybe there was just speculation.
I think there was speculation. And, yeah. And Mike Hoffman has had some good seasons. He scored 36 goals in 2018-19 with the Panthers. He scored 29 goals in 19-20 with the Panthers. And the thing about Mike Hoffman is, you know, if you need a power play goal, he's your guy. He's got a great shot. He's good at finding holes in a penalty kill, but the rest of his game needs a little work. And at this point, Mike Hoffman's an older player, so he is what he is. He's more or less a specialist. Like, I wouldn't trust Mike Hoffman, you know, with playing in a defensive minded situation. You know, he's not overly physical. You know, he needs line mates who can complement him. And I think there are elements of that in Ellie Tolvanen's game. I do think that Ellie Tolvanen has done a lot of work to improve defensively. And I think he is a reliable defensive player. I do not think he is a liability when the Predators need a stop in the defensive zone. I do think that he has become more physical. But I would, in terms of the comparison to Hoffman, we know that Tolvanen, you know, has a fantastic shot and can really, you know, be a threat on the power play. But I also agree with the idea that, you know, he also needs line mates who can complement him. You know, Ellie Tolvanen is not driving a line on his own. And when I think about, you know, where he is in his career, he's played almost 200 games in the NHL, which is hard to believe. And he has like 25 career goals, something like that. And, you know, young player, you know, development is not a straight line. You know, sometimes players develop more slowly, and he is still a young player. So there is still room to grow, and he could become. Look, if Ellie Tolvanen had 36 goals one season, like Mike Hoffman has, you know, that would be great. But, you know, I just look at Tolvanen and I see a player that he needs certain, like, I think we were talking about this with Ryan Tannehill. Like, Ryan Tannehill needs certain conditions to succeed. He needs an effective running game. You know, he might need an effective tight end, which he did not have last season, but he had with Jonnu Smith. He needs things to be right around him in order to succeed. He's not a quarterback, Tannehill, that is going to make things happen on his own consistently. And I feel like Tolvanen is that kind of player for the Predators. And, you know, he's had plenty of opportunities in the top six, and he just hasn't seized those moments. He had a run during the shortened season where he was carrying the team offensively for a stretch. But outside of that, I just haven't seen it yet, and I'm just not sure. You know, this is not to say that he could not return to a consistent top six player at some point. I think that opportunity for now has passed him by, and he'll have to work to get it back.
Yeah, so it is. So it's 122 games, 23 goals.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was way off.
But you know, I mean, that's a pretty decent. I mean, essentially, it's about a season and a half total, right?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, he had 11 goals in 40 games, 11 goals, 22 points in 40 games in the 2020-21 season, 11 goals and 23 points in 75 games, basically twice the time, same production last year, so half the production.
The problem is
one year
that,
to the next, and you know, like you said, the shot percentage less than half.
Certain columnists wrote fawning columns from the Olympics 4 years ago. That got us all hyped up.
I should go find.
I remember that column, and I was like, all right, Joe.
I was like, they don't need a trading deadline acquisition. This guy, plug him in right now. Plug and play.
Look, I think a lot of us, I don't want to say fooled because that would be unfair to Tolvanen, but you know, in our defense, I mean, you and I are not the only ones guilty of this. He was setting rookie scoring records in the KHL. He was playing in the Olympics. He was playing in the World Junior Tournament. You know, he was playing well. I mean, that's why people were so excited for him to come here. And it doesn't always happen. And you know, the one thing I've always been impressed with Elli Tolvanen is that when he got here and he was sent to Milwaukee, he had such a great attitude. You know,
yeah.
I was a bit concerned that, you know, he would think to himself like, I could be playing professionally in the KHL right now, making a lot more money. You know, why would I want to play in the American League? And, you know, because, you know, I was reminded a little bit of, you know, Kevin Fiala, because Kevin Fiala.
Yeah, I was just going to say, un-Fiala-like.
Yes, Kevin Fiala had a bit of a problem being in Milwaukee, needed some tough love. Tolvanen, you know, has really done the work. Because I remember in his entry level contract, there was a European assignment clause, which is not uncommon. But basically, you know, he had an out if he wanted to go play in Europe again if he wasn't getting an opportunity with the Predators. But he never really thought about exercising it because he knew that the way to get to the NHL was to put in the work in the minors. And to his credit, he's become a consistent figure in the lineup, you know. But with all, you know, look, it's great that he's getting better defensively and more well-rounded, but, you know, that's not his bread and butter, you know.
It's not, but I do wonder if – because look, even like going to last year, it was, well, frankly, you want to talk about some funny stuff that people have written. I mean, you go back and look at, I think, some of your and some of my predictions individually about the Preds. I think it was me. Like Tolvanen's going to have like a 30 goal season.
I had the worst prediction of any Predators related.
You had Cunnin,
media
right?
person. Yeah, I said that Luke Cunnin was going to lead the team in goals. Could not have been more wrong.
That's Jared-ish of you.
Well, I had to go out on a limb, and my rationale was that he was really good in the second half of the shortened season, and had a big goal in the playoffs against the Hurricanes, and he ended up leading the team, I think, in 5-on-5 scoring during that shortened season. So I was like, all right, he's gonna get more opportunity. He's gonna score, because I didn't think that Matt Duchene and Philip Forsberg were gonna have 40 goal seasons, because it had never happened before.
There's a great example of, you think trajectory is one thing for someone, and then like in one season it's like, never mind. My question though with Tolvanen, mm-hmm. and we'll bring this to the other side, I do wonder if psychologically the way things are going to go heading into this year might benefit him and the Predators. We'll get to that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Very, very 80s. The Olivia Newton-John tributes rolling in today.
I feel like I'm in the town in Footloose.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan in for Robbie. Jamming to some Olivia Newton-John. Rest in peace. Talking some Preds. And in particular, Ellie Tolvin. So here's my thought, Adam. So Tolvanen, big expectations going into last year.
Yes.
After a really encouraging stretch the season before, kind of stymied by injury. But I do wonder, because like you said, he has gained John Hines' trust, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the type of guy. Tolvanen's the type of guy that I would have said, like, if he's not scoring goals, like, what? You know, then what's he doing for you? But
right,
I think there is a certain level of trust there, and the expectations are going to be muted. Obviously, if you're Ellie Tolvanen, you would love to have an opportunity to be in that top six, and who knows? You know, speaking of trajectory, like with Cunnan, young guy still, had some promise. Like you said, finished strong, and then last year it just like poof. You know, so we assume Tomasino is going to be taking a big step here and entrenching himself and producing more, but I don't know. I mean, that spot, that sixth spot now that five are absolutely claimed, could still rotate. But if it is Tolvanen, Glass, Sanford, some combination there in a fourth line, I could see him having a better season. Because in some ways, I think he's kind of becoming an afterthought, right? Like the idea that Tolvanen is going to be a core forward is kind of faded. Maybe I'm overreacting on that. Again, he's only 23, but 122 games in, I think the pressure, the expectations have gone down a bit. Maybe that helps him this year on a line like that. But I mean, that also, I think, depends a lot on Cody Glass and what he is.
Yeah, and Cody Glass, you know, is an interesting case because, of course, you know, he was part of the very interesting three-team trade between the Predators, Flyers, and Knights. You know, like none of those teams, by the way, have really benefited from this trade. If you think about it, actually, the Predators might be the early winners of that trade when you think about
just it. Just dumping the salary.
Right, because they dumped Ryan Ellis's salary, and Ryan Ellis, unfortunately, you know, has been dealing with numerous injuries, played four games last season, and who knows when he'll be ready to play again. Nolan Patrick, who went to Vegas, you know, didn't play much last year, and, you know, he missed a whole season, I think, because of vertigo or something along those lines, and you know, he was a non-factor for the Golden Knights, and Cody Glass, you know, didn't play much in Nashville. Neither did Philip Myers. I guess, you know, you turn Philip Myers into Ryan McDonough, so that's good. And Cody Glass, you know, led the Milwaukee Admirals in scoring. So I guess the Predators ended up on top of this thing, which is hard to believe. But you know, one thing to keep in mind about Cody Glass is, you know, he missed, you know, several years of important development. Not several, a couple of years of important development, because he suffered some serious knee injuries and he didn't really play. And
right,
I think it was great that he went down to Milwaukee and had such a great season. I know he wasn't much of a factor with the Predators, but you know, the kid has potential. It was a top 10 pick in the draft a few years ago, and I will be interested to see, you know, how he does. I presume he'll be on the team and get a chance to make an impact. But with Tolvanen, yeah, I mean, there, you know, perhaps there won't be as much attention on him entering the season. you know, as you said, I think we all think that Philip Tomasino might get the crack at, you know, filling out the top six, and there'll be a lot of attention on Tomasino, you know, who I've been impressed by, especially considering the role that he was in last year. Not an offensive-minded role a lot of the times, but was still able to create. So I wondered at the start of the offseason if Eli Tolvanen could be a change of scenery trade candidate, you know, because there are teams, every team has a young player that hasn't hit his potential, and you wonder if it's going to happen with that team, and you see that all the time. You see, a team trade 20-something players, you know. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I was wondering if, you know, there's a player in Edmonton by the name of Jesse Puljujarvi, who was a top pick in the draft a few years ago. And, you know, he's had an up and down start to his NHL career. And I thought, well, you know, maybe, you know, he's a change of scenery candidate too. Maybe that could work. But, I will be interested to see from afar, you know, how Tolvanen, you know, does this coming season. Just because I do think he has value. One thing that did hurt him was the fact that the Predators' power play was fantastic, and the top unit, especially, if I recall correctly off the top of my head, Forsberg, Josi, Duchesne, Granlund, and Johansson.
Yep.
And that, you know, that unit was fabulous. And when Forsberg was injured early in the season, Tolvanen stepped in and I thought did a good job. But when Forsberg came back, he was, you know, that second unit was such a, you know, a mishmash of players. It was Nick Cousins was on there, and I think Matthias Ekholm was on there, and I think Tomasino got some run, and, you know, it was like a mash unit, but that's not really the word. That's not what I'm looking for, because mash unit, you know, is, you know.
Yeah, that's injury related.
Yes, but this was a mishmash unit.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So there you go. You can call it that. You can borrow that if you want. I think Tolvanen is a player, like I said before the break, who needs conditions to be right to be impactful. You know, he needs to be on a power play with like-minded players. He needs to be on a line with guys who can drive a line, and he can benefit from that. Now, can a line of, as we said, of Cody Glass and Zach Sanford, can that work? We'll have to wait and see if that's even something John Hines wants to do. You know, it makes sense, but, you know, I think, you know, if Eli Tolvanen develops into a consistent 15 to 20 goal scorer every season, I mean, there is value in that. I mean, it's not what Predators fans were hoping for when they drafted him and he had, you know, a great showing overseas, but there is value in having someone that can do that. I mean, hell, like look at Craig Smith. I mean, Craig Smith, you know, would hit 20 goals somehow. That guy, you know, had a lot of warts in his game, and he was very inconsistent. But he would put it together just enough to hit 20 goals almost every season. And if Eli Tolvanen can be a player like that, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, Craig Smith had value. I mean, he wasn't consistent, but he had value. And yeah. I think Tolvanen could be that kind of player. And it's not what you would hope for, but it is something.
Well, and Glass is kind of, you know, number six pick formerly. So there's all this expectation, all this hype, et cetera, et cetera. That has faded for him too, you know. So it's an interesting situation. It's an interesting dynamic if those two are together next year. You wonder how much are those knee injuries going to, you know, limit or impact Cody Glass moving forward? How much did Milwaukee benefit him? I still think he's intriguing. I mean, it's, again, you know, get past the fact that he was the sixth pick and that he was supposed to be something different than he has been so far. You're also still talking about a 23-year-old with him. So those two with reduced expectations.
Yeah, he's 23. He's young. And if I recall correctly, I remember after that trade, I talked to Pete DeBoer, now head coach of the Dallas Stars, but then the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. And I think it was Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone were like campaigning to play with Cody Glass at one point because they liked what they saw. And now it didn't work out. But
That's interesting.
When you have players of that caliber asking the coach, "Hey, we want to get a run with this kid," you know, that's a sign of confidence. So
it tells you there might be something there.
Yeah, I do think there's something there. But like I said, you have to keep in mind that, I mean, and I believe it was the same knee that was injured. He injured it, and as he was rehabbing it, injured it again. Like when he was doing his conditioning stint, he injured it again. So it's not like, you know, injuries to two different, you know, both knees. It's like one knee and then that same knee, which I have to imagine makes it even more difficult to rehab.
Yes, no doubt. And that is troubling, and it's going to be fascinating. We're going to get a break, and when we come back, Gentry Estes from the Tennessean here on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here, and fantasy football season right around the corner, and my friends at Twin Peaks want to hook you up with a great time. They've got great food, double-stack nachos, loaded fries, boneless wings, refreshing 29-degree beers as well, and they want to be your place to be for the fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. So call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869.